Good morning. So Arnu, just a little bit of humor. I am thankful that I have an overflowing drain. There are people that don't even have a drain that can overflow. But yesterday I did not feel that thankful. I was sommer mislik. Gister was een van daai mislike dae. I felt like my drain. And this morning I started to repent of that, obviously because I have to be in a good state when I talk to you guys. But I was standing there at the back, and I don't know, I'm just many times, I think it's one thing to come to the church full of joy and excited and everything. It's another thing when you come here and you feel the joy of God here, you feel the presence of God here, and you can actually feel how your spirit is lifted up just in his presence. So thank you to the worship guys for the song choice as well. And once again, you'll see that one of the things that I want to just mention this morning is it's Gilly did fit so mooi and with the last song about breath. And maybe I'm gonna try today. So we call today an activation Sunday. And I think there's always the danger when you want to talk about activation that it just becomes a dormant information session. I'm putting my faith out today with the rest of you guys that it's not just a dead information session, that you not just hear stuff that you've already heard before, but there's actually a ignition and an activation in our hearts. And maybe that's more of the point that I want to make this morning, is that we need the Spirit of God in our lives for us to be alive and to be activated. So on there, that's where my message starts. I was driving this week, and then I just prayed and I asked the Lord how should I put this together. And then the first thing that came to my mind was keys, die bosleutels that is there. And what I want you guys to just imagine with all those symbolism, all of them are actually in the Bible. You know, there's a scripture for each one of them, and I'm just going to read each one of them. But think about keys and put it in the context of activation. You know, when you want to start your car, you have to turn the key, and hopefully the battery isn't flat, and then there will be ignition, which is activation. That's the one thing. If you want to open a door or you want to close a door, there's a lock on that. You open it. This is the scripture in Matthew 16, verse 19 that says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And that talks about authority once again. The song that we sang about authority, there's so much power in what we say. Yesterday, we were at the hockey festival in Somerset West. And the guys played great, but the last game they lost 6-0, and I really enjoyed the effort. There was a lot of effort in there, but I just realized the power of thought and the power of what we speak. And as I was worshiping here at the back just now, I was thinking, it's weird the stuff that I think about in church. But I was thinking about yesterday, and it just came to me that many times, you know, we look for victory on the scoreboards of life. We've been conditioned that way. And yesterday was so beautiful for me afterwards. The scoreboard did not reflect the victory. It reflected the victory of the winning team. But to see boys coming from the field, winners and losers, and you can actually see they are men of character. You know, they congratulate one another, they smile at one another, they don't, you know, kick, you know, the coolers around and throw their hockey sticks all over. And I just realized, you know, that many times God gives us the keys of life so that we can walk in victory. And we are attacked in our minds to be pessimistic and negative. And that's where we many times lose the fight. And the way that we win that is if we take the keys of life that God has given us, His Word, and by His Spirit, we speak truth. We speak life where there's death. And I think many times we try to project it on some people out there, but many times we have to project it on ourselves, the way that we think about life, the way that the enemy wants to come, and many times it's demonic. You think it's your own thoughts, but it's demonic thoughts that wants you to be negative and pessimistic about life. Okay, so that's just something there on the side. So this week, think about keys. Think about the keys that God has given you to unlock certain things in heaven. And then the other one, the guy there in the near vas, gaan gou weer terug prentjies toe Grant. The guy there in the left, maybe I should finish that and make it makliker for Grant om net aan te gaan. So the guy there in the left, he just represents breath. I mean, I didn't ask them to sing this song this morning. It's one of those, okay, God wants us to just meditate on that a little while. That the thing about activation, think about a baby that is in the womb for 9 months and then living on that, I've got water on there as well, but what's that? Amniotic fluid. And then it comes out and obviously ek dominee, dokter, slaat hem op die boot, and it's the breath of life. When we talk about activation, we should also think about the negative of activation, and that is deactivation. We have to ask ourselves, in the kingdom of God, what is the areas that we are not activated in, where we are deactivated, where we are passive? And God, by His Holy Spirit, gives us the breath of life. Every day, the breath of life is available to us, and yet we remain deactivated in certain areas of ministry. Are you with me? There's areas in our lives where God wants to activate us and pursue the passions and the purposes that He has placed on our lives. If we do not take in the breath of life physically, just forget about the Holy Spirit, just physically, as Jaini Asimal, if you don't breathe, you're going to pass out or you're going to die. Okay? And many times we like that spiritually. Okay? That's why salvation is so important. When people come to Jesus Christ, He breathes on us the life and we become alive. And as believers and spirit-filled believers, we sit with the potential to bring life to places where there isn't breath. You have the breath of life inside of you. And when you speak the words of life, you speak life over desert areas in other people's lives and over your own life, over your marriage, over your family. So when we are bickering and fighting and pessimistic and negative all the time, we just perpetuate, we just feed depression. We just feed something that is dormant. We just feed the deserted places that is deserted and void of the life and the truth of God. Okay? So the breath of God is in us. And we have to make that choice and that decision to say, I will breathe life. Maybe just the one that is associated with that next to it is wind. And then I have water. Water is life. Where there's no water, there is no life. Ask the farmers. You need water to have life, either from deep underneath the earth or from up above. The other one that is very predominant in the Bible to activate things is fire. Those of you who had science in school, you know you need fire for a chemical reaction in many areas to take place. Many times those things, there is a combination of a chemical reaction that you need to have a spark that can create the fire. And then the last one I have there is just a seed. You need seed and you need soil. Okay, so I'm just gonna read the scriptures here so that you don't think that I have become very new agey with all of these symbols and emblems. The new agers, by the way, stole all our symbols and emblems from the Bible, so they're not that original anyway. I already read Matthew 16 verse 19. Psalm 104, 29, 30 says, "You hide your face." This is so beautiful. "You hide your face. They are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit. They are created. And you renew the face of the earth." Mooi, ne? Beautiful. That is a scripture that you can put on your ijskas. John 20:20. "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Psalm 104 verse 4. who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Just want to mention that today. As I'm going to speak about certain places that you can serve in church today, the idea is not for you to come to church like we say so many times because it is your tradition and because you feel guilty and now you have to serve at some place because you want to keep your conscience at bay or you want to keep me or Alida or any other person in this church happy. You will not be able to sustain any place of service if you are not ignited and on fire by the Spirit of God. That is maybe something that is so missing in the churches, of many churches, is that the Holy Spirit of God is not welcomed. And then we get frustrated. We got frustrated by our ministries. And then after a while, you just give up. Because we do not bring it to the fire. We do not bring it to the breath. We do not bring it to the place where sometimes it must die like a seed so that it can germinate, grow, and produce something that can multiply into various fruits. So sometimes you've got to lay down your ministry, let it die, so that God can renew it. Okay, so jy verstaan die prentjie wat ek besig is om te skets vanoggend. You need the fire of God to be a minister in any area of church and the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Acts 2 verse 2-3, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I saw something this week where it was in a youth group that one of the guys said, how do I hear the voice of God audibly? Maybe some of you guys saw that as well. Because that's what we many times want, ne? For change to take place. I will only change when I hear the voice of God audibly. And then the youth leader said, read your Bible aloud. So that's what I'm doing here today. I am reading the Bible aloud and you are hearing the voice of God. You're not hearing my voice. I am the vessel. This is my stembinder. But the Word of God is the voice of God. And yet we look at our Bibles as, that's a book I read when I want to fall asleep. And what Arnu said is very, very profound and prophetic this morning. Is, are we thankful for that? Are we thankful that we have the Word of God in our lives? Are we thankful that we are able to read that? And I'm not guilt-tripping you. I'm fact-checking you. That's a fact, ne? We do not appreciate it the way that we have to. And the truth is, we cannot appreciate it. We cannot force one another to appreciate it. There's something that God must do in our lives. But the place for us to appreciate the Word of God is, it starts with a confession. It starts with a place where we have to say, Lord, I don't appreciate it. I'm so distracted by other stuff. But God, you know, the revelation is coming to me that your word is the truth that sets free. Your word, when I have it in my mind and I have it in my heart, is what empowers me to speak with authority into situations of my own and into other people's situations and lives. Otherwise, what is the alternative? The alternative opposed to that is whatever your flesh can endure and bring up. Your experience or your generational experience or the way that you've been brought up, that is your arsenal. That is your arsenal with which you will take on. And praise God if you grew up in a godly house where Scripture was priority. But you have a challenge, you have a catch-up to do if that was not the case. Because the flesh, the world, and the devil, that is your other alternatives. Nie deel van my preek gewees nie. Psalm 42 verse 1-2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 2 says, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but it dies, it bears much fruit. Power of symbolism. Okay? We see it all around us. Let those things remind us about Scripture. Let's meditate on this every now and again. Every now and again. Connect the truth of Scripture with the symbols that God has placed around us. Okay, just a quick recap. Our vision is that Jesus gives us hope and He has called us to reach the nations. And that comes from the great commandment. Grant, you can go to the next one. That says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So the great commandment comes and it says, listen, God has loved us so much. And He has transformed our hearts and He has transformed our souls. And He's busy transforming our minds more and more so that we can love our neighbor and love ourselves. Therefore, I love our vision to reach nations and generations, old and young, through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. I had a discussion this week with somebody who just, obviously, he's been disappointed in church. And then he just said, you know, he doesn't agree with, you know, the vision that we have to plant churches. And then we just had this discussion and I asked him, I said, listen, but what's your definition of church plant? And I realized his definition is it's motivated from his hurt. So the idea that he has of church plant is something very, very cosmetic and worldly marketed. And the church many times run into the danger of doing that. We become corporate. And then we had a very good discussion and I said, listen, but you talk about discipling because you say the word of God tells us to go and make disciples. And I said, but that is the purpose of church planting. If the purpose of church planting is just for a bunch of people to gather and not become better disciples to make better disciples, in other words, not become leaders that can make disciples, we many times miss the point. So I agree with what you say, but I also disagree with what you say. We are the church. We're not a physical building. And God has called the church, nothing else, to reach nations and generations. He called us, He called you, He called me to reach nations and generations. And He works in our lives daily to prepare us, to heal our hurts and our disappointments, to reset us, and like our leader preached last week, to recalibrate us to walk in His purpose and in His will. Our vision also comes from the Great Commission. There's a great commandment, and then there's also the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see this morning is that the two feeds into one another. None of us can make disciples if we are loveless. And none of us can be effective with the love that we have without making disciples. If we do not make disciples, we become this, what is it? Ingroei toenail. Waar's my Engels, juffrou? Grow in toenail. Yo, we become piggies. So we just come and eat and eat and eat. Okay? Now, once again, I love what Umano said this morning. Many times we're looking for the radical and we're looking for the not so ordinary when we make disciples. But fathers and mothers, raising your children is a form of making disciples. The way that you speak to people out there is a form of making disciples. Yes, there's those focus times where we have to go on a mission, whether it's local or global, or go to live, or where you go to the lost tribes of the nations. That is a massive, massive evangelical part of what we have to do. But don't be so hard on yourself that you feel many times that, wow, you are not walking in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment because you are just a mom. You're just a stay-at-home mom. Or you're just a dad that plays with your children on a weekend. There's stuff in there to be celebrated, and there's stuff in there to be thankful for. And when the enemy also come, I experience that, I almost want to say daily, but every now and again, I look at myself and I'm like, yes, I don't know if I'm a good father. Especially when you do parenting courses and you measure all the stuff that you do right with the stuff that you don't do right yet. Because we're clumsy. We're clumsy in our parenting. We're clumsy in our marriages. We're clumsy. We're not perfect. And that's where the beauty lies in, because God the Father comes and He reminds us over and over again and says, listen, I love you. I love you. I love you. My grace is available for you to walk in parenting, to walk in your marriage, to walk in the areas of life where you many times feel like a failure. His grace is available. And His grace is a powerful thing. His grace is the fire. His grace is the breath. His grace is the water. His grace is the soil in which we grow. His grace is the wind, the ruach life, that enables us to get up again and say, today I will parent, and I will parent hard. I'm going to love these children. I'm going to love the sin out of them once again. I'm going to show them the love of the Father. Okay, this is a little bit of a recap. We are called to transform the world with the love of God. We have a call to share the gospel and make disciples around the world. We have a call to love God and others perfectly and without end. And that is only able for us to be in Jesus Christ. And then I had this on when we had our first growth sessions that I talked about. Our Vision Sundays. Just want to recap this. Our core values: we have a passion for Jesus, which means it's a passion that speaks of a love for Jesus. It is the Father's emphatic, blazing love to and through us. The love lends legitimacy to who we are and what we do. We have the power of belief. Power is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is a profound belief that sustains this inspiration and makes for change, growth, and accomplishment. And we are a people that serve. People are our core business. To serve them flows naturally from this passion. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. And we have a purpose to pursue, which is our vision. Purpose is an inheritance everyone has from God. It is a uniquely crafted, person-specific progression of assignments. Finding and engaging it brings the reward of ultimate affirmation. I'm going to end with our why in just a moment. But every now and again, it's important, not just for me, for all of us, to ask, what is our why? And if we cannot connect our why, whether it's the vision of Shofar with its core values, or it is your business, or it is the way that you do, like I said, parenting or life, if you cannot connect your why with the ways of God, with His kingdom ways, there is repentance that needs to take place. Because we are a people that is called to be sanctified, to become more Christ-like. The way that I think, the way that I feel, the way that I speak, that's where the battle takes place. That's where the war is on this side of life. One day you will be glorified and you will be as Christ is. You will not feel the pain and the leerstellings and the stuff that you're feeling every now and again. But for us to stay on track, it's important that we talk about our why. Okay. We are a people that is sent in spirit and truth. Grantie, kan jy volgende prentjie opgooi? True love and true caring happens when I share of what I received. I didn't prop oom Arnu. That was the Holy Spirit that asked him to share that. We cannot be a people that contain the good news and the testimonies and the joy and the peace and the righteousness of life in ourselves like a reservoir. We are supposed to be a river that flows. And we are connected to God that brings life and life and abundance. Our rivers cannot run dry. Our rivers become stale and smelly if we do not flow. That's why we many times struggle with joy in our lives. It's because we don't flow. But when we flow and we see that where this water goes, it brings life to people. It brings joy to other people. It brings hope to other people. We partake of that as well. We partake of that hope as well. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone is the highest expression of thankfulness or gratitude. How do we become vulnerable? Remember, I spoke about that when I said, how do we become vulnerable without going through some sort of hardship? And I mentioned at that time and I said, many times you see that when somebody goes through a hard time in their lives, you know, there's sickness in the family or there's financial challenges or something like that, and they allow that hard time to be like a furnace of God. They come out on the other side more beautiful, more sanctified, okay? And then I asked the question and I said, but do we have to wait for hard times to be sanctified? Because that is a tough thing to think about. No, we do not wait for hard times. Hard times come. We don't order it through Takealot or whatever. It just comes. It's part of the broken world that we live in. But how do we become vulnerable and how do we grow without hard times? And serving is one of those ways. When I say, listen, I am going to lay my life down and I am going to serve. And for us, For some people, for instance, you know, just to come and to go and stand behind a table pouring coffee is very intimidating because you have to speak to people sometimes. You have to make eye contact. And I'm not kidding now, ne? But this introvertness is a real thing. It's not easy to get out of your shell to serve in certain places. Okay? Some people, when they take this microphone and they have to come and stand here, they're literally going to die. And then we're going to pray for them, resurrect them, and say, try again. You know? But it's not easy to serve in the kingdom of God, and it's not supposed to be easy. Certain things does come naturally to you. It will be easy for you. But I want to challenge you today, do not look for easy. Per aspera ad astra. Do you know what that means? The school here says it means reach for the stars, but that's half of it. It means through adversity, reach for the stars. I love it. Through tough times, you keep on reaching for the stars. Not just reach for the stars. That's like kleuter school. Just come and reach for the stars. It's not easy to reach for the stars because life happens and life is hard. So this is my request. You have to go and pray and say, Lord, where do I have to serve in church? If you're serving already and you've already done that, great, stay there. But do not look for the easy ways because we need the grace of God to help us in times of vulnerability when we are weak to experience His power. Wherever we serve, whatever we say yes for, we always want to say no after we have said yes. The school that I am involved in at the moment, they've found my number. They got my number. So every time there is an opportunity to speak, they phone me now. And then I say yes before I think. And then 2 days before I have to speak, it's like having to preach on a Sunday, then my brook starts to beaver because then I start calculating and I'm like, they're going to be 1,000 people. They're going to be 1,000 critical children. They're going to be this. They're going to be that. Then I want to get out of it. Sometimes I get it right. I come up with some excuse. But that's the kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. You want to get out. But we have to push through. We have to push through and say, Lord, you have asked me to be here. You have asked me to serve. And I'm going to bring you glory. Yes, God, I pitched there reluctantly. I started serving. I realized, hey, I'm part of a team. We started chatting. It became lekker. Die stof het gedraai, want die skool is altijd vuil. We served and we served. People's lives were changed. I walked out of there. Wow. Something was amazing. And yet we live in a world full of excuses. I see that all over. We love making excuses. We love criticizing. But we struggle to be the solution to the problems of the world. Lekker. Serving, ministering, and sharing outside of our comfort zones depend on the grace of God, and we are helped by the Holy Spirit. I asked the church, I said, let's get out of isolation and insolation. Just for those of you who wasn't there, I said we isolate ourselves, we hide. Sometimes we hide behind a ministry. Sometimes some of us, we hide behind the pulpit. You can be very out there, but I'm hiding here because I'm comfortable speaking. But if God's going to challenge my comfort zone and says, I want you to go and serve at the children's church. I've tried that. You need the Holy Spirit and all the power of God when you go and serve there if you want to make a real impact. We cannot hide behind ministry and we cannot hide behind the flesh, the world, and the devil. Get out of isolation, whatever that is. Get out of from behind your excuses, whatever that is. And then the other word that I used is insulation. I said we hide behind our materialism. We hide behind our things of pleasure. We hide behind the next biggest car that I want, or the next biggest this, or the next biggest job, or the next biggest this, or the next biggest that. We hide behind that. And when God calls us, it's difficult because we have to say no and yes to certain things. When I say yes to something, I have to say no to something else. When I say no to something, I have to say yes to something else. That's just how life works. So eenvoudig soos dat. And then I said, we have to get back to what was before and what was intended from the beginning of God. First, the reformation in returning to God and His presence. Second, reformation in returning to God and His people. Third, reformation in returning to God and His healing and deliverance. And fourth, the reformation in returning to God and His mission. And that's what I want to talk about today. And then grant the next prankie, net vinnig. We have a discipleship track. That's why we do life encounter, home encounter, destiny, freedom encounters. And the last one is share. For those of you who can't see, there's a method in the mindness that we want to get people to Jesus. We want to get them planted in a house of the Lord, into small groups, into a place where they can belong and where they can relationally be in community and experience how God uses His people with their brokenness to help one another grow in Christ. We do destiny and freedom encounters where we focus on inner healing. We talk about the authority that you have to speak into the Spirit, to drive out demons, and to see the power of God manifest in people's lives. And then we talk about share, where we talk about evangelism and stuff like this. So this is a share session. Share. I'm not sharing with you. I'm sharing with you in the hope that you will share. Share some of your energy, some of your time, some of your finances, to get involved in ministries, to be the incubator where ministries are born in intercession and prayer, to a place where you come and you say, listen, I have this idea. God is laying this on my heart. We have to start the youth and do something there with them. And I'm not just doing it because there's a need. I am doing it because I prayed, I fasted, and this is what God has laid on my heart. Don't wait for me to pray for you. I have prayed. That's why I'm a pastor in Shofar. That's why we have church every Sunday. Each one of us have a responsibility to take our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, you have predestined a plan and a purpose for me. And I am not calling for volunteers to make this church working better. I am speaking to your heart that out there in the world 24/7, you walk out your purpose in your season. And if your purpose at this time is to breastfeed babies, you make sure you are the best spirit-filled breastfeeding mother that there is. They're not just going to get milk from a booby. They're going to get spiritual sustenance because you lay your hands on them and you speak life over their destiny and you speak life over their purpose. You pray for them all the time. Those tough times where you want to cry and you scream at your husband and say, bring me cool blara. What is the, I'm in pain here. That's where you per aspera ad astra, sister. You reach for the stars through perspiration and desperation and all the stuff. In the mundane things that you do out there in life, God is working with you and through you. Amen? Was nie een sister wat amen gesê het. Jy weet die pastor wat het is om met seer borste kinders. Nee, ek weet die. I don't know. Okay, I'm just going to go a little bit quicker through everything. You remember the, gaan gaan na die volgende prentjie toe. Okay, we want to get Bible school going, but we need people who's like, hey, I'm going to administrate that. I'm not going to do that. Ek administrate oor genoeg goeders. I need somebody who's going to say, listen, I will take responsibility for that. And not because there's a need, because I prayed. Because it's flipping baie werk daai. Dis baie werk. Dit is soos, you have to read, you have to make sure people come to the class, you have to work with the finances, you have to let them write exams, you have to mark the exams, you have got to get the truth of God inside of them. But if you do not have a passion to get the truth of God in people, do not even apply. Do not even apply. Okay, and then the next prankie we had on there was just the, our outside, not outside, our ancillary ministries. Alida and myself, we love doing marriage preparation. And every time we do marriage preparation, we're saying, next time we're going to hand it over. The time is now. I'm going to hand it over. Who's going to do marriage preparation? Stand down forever, hold your peace. Say, I do. No, I'm kidding. Pray about it. But we want to partner. We want to... You know what the problem is? Do you know why we sit in the mindsets? Because we've been conditioned that you come to church traditionally. There's a building, okay? Check. The previous generations, blood, sweat, trana, and finances for that. So there's the building, okay? And then you walk in and then there's a dominee and there's a tani with an oral. And I have my Bible. And then you sit and you receive the word and you go home. That's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom of God is that each one of us have to walk in the purpose that God has for us. Each individual person. And God uses people like me to irritate people like you until you get it. That is my purpose in life. I've made a peace with that. I have to be the itch. That would be my fourth doopnaam, the itch. It will also be the name of my band. The itch. Because I will sing to itchy ears. That's in the Bible as well. No, I will sing so lelik that people will go like, shut up. Is it a grappie? Okay. I think that's what I wanted to say. Just grant us a prankie van a train track. The next one. Skip that one. Okay. Just thinking about it this week, somebody asked me, and I, the three personalities that I have, and said, listen, why do we have a discipleship track? And then I said, you know, we love walking on the less beaten track. We love to go and be adventurous. And we have to be that. We have to go out there and get into the world. We have to serve. But we need a place where there is safety for us as well. Where I can just come to church on a Sunday and just receive the word of God. And just breathe out. And just breathe in. Okay? There's stuff that needs to be familiar to us. At the end, I'm gonna talk about our why. Our why is what makes us get out of bed. Many times we get out of bed for our how. And many times when we have forgotten about our why, our how is a good reason to get out of bed. I don't want to get out of bed again today because I'm going to have to face stuff in life. But there's a how that has been established. There's a track that has been established. And as long as I'm on that track and I just do what I have been doing for how many years, I produce as well. Right? And I know I have to find my why again. I know I have to find my why again. But the how keeps me on track. Okay, gaan 'n bietjie vinniger gaan. Amper klaar. Grant, the next one. I just said if we want to work, yeah. We have to come to a place where we have to say we want to work for God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working to the Lord. Do work that has a purpose. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Remember, this is God speaking. It's not just a scripture that we're reading. We want to walk in God's handiwork that He has created in Christ Jesus to do for us. For us to do, which He has prepared in advance for us. Okay, we want to do work with God. That's so important, eh? We many times want to struggle on our own. And He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do the work with people. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And we have to do the work for people. Colossians 6:10 says, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Okay, now I'm quickly just going to run through different serving areas. We're going to send this through on the WhatsApp again. So a link like those links that you can go and register on will be something like that. So you go to the link and then you can say, you know, I've been praying and fasting for this for 10 years. I am ready now. I will now pour coffee. Just joking. If that is what God has called you, there's going to be power in that. All right? You're not just going to be pouring coffee. Remember that video key that we watched of the guy that says he's a barista, not a barrister. He actually works in law, but when God changed his heart and he started serving coffee at his church with love and compassion, how that changed people's lives and how that changed his life. So whatever mundane thing there is, if it's in the hand of God, like the fish and the bread, he breathes on that and it changes lives. And that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for Ishmael ministry that, you know, it's just going to run a couple of weeks and then it's going to crash. We trust God for ministry that will change lives. Okay, so all this encounter stuff, I'm looking for people that are willing to be presenters of sessions, that facilitate video sessions and have conversation and prayer with people. People that can organize the events, coordinators that can run the events in encounters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, so if you've been through any of those and you're like, listen, man, I love that. I want to get involved in that. You sign up for that. Like I said, Bible school, marriage preparation, parenting, men and women's gatherings. Many times, I just want to say this as well. If you look around and you're like, you know, I see a need and it irritates me that there isn't something in there. Ask yourself, is God speaking to you to start that up? Are you waiting for gefrakte me to get it going? If you're like, hey, what are there for the men? That's a consumerist question, but it is a very good question as well. You say, I want to do something for the men or the women. Usually women do something for the women. Men don't do something for the women. Okay, outreaches. Okay, and then in church, I'm just for the sake of time. I'm not going to read through everything. We'll send it through. But you can become part of the welcoming team. And you can be creative and spice it up. You know, if you like, hey, this isn't working for me. I want to pitch in a clown suit one day to welcome people. Just come and check it with myself and Alida. I don't want you to look transvesterig when you welcome people at the door. But you can become part of the welcoming team. Kids Church are always looking for volunteers. Parents, many times we just like, this is our place where we drop them so that we just can have some peace. And that's fine. We love to do that. But if God is speaking to you about getting involved in the kids church, sign up. Youth, we don't have youth. And I trust, we have youth. But I trust that we can start up something on a Sunday evening for our youth, where they bring friends, not just our youth. They bring friends, and we repeat what we're doing now, just a little bit shorter and on their level. And we teach them about Jesus, and we disciple them. And they take ownership of their own service with their own band, and I can just feel the excitement in the room about that. But if that is something that you like, hey, even if you're just saying, listen, I want to pray for that, please let me know, because then I know somebody's praying about that. All right. Coffee. I said a lot about coffee. The head ushers is the people that run around and coordinate the service and the setup. The projection and the recording guys there at the back, you go and speak to them if you want to know what they do. But they do an amazing job. And they grow through character forming. The sound teams, the same. I made a suggestion to the guys there at the back because they sometimes are hiding there with me from the kiddies licky. And I said, we are going to work out our own song and then we're going to come and perform it here one day. They still haven't been very enthusiastic in the reception of that. But yes, because we do. I do my own moves there at the back, by the way. So don't look around, but I can't do this moves. It's too quick for me. It will be part of my next venture, the itch. Okay. Photography and videography. If you love taking pictures and stuff like that, come and speak to us. When we have events, we want to. The music team, we said about that a lot. If you can sing and you're talented, you just have to go for an audition. Speak to them about that. Setup, we love packing chairs. It's awesome. If you look around and you're like, yeah, die vloer kan gevee word, God is calling you. The offering and the communion are usually done by the ushers. I'm just very exhaustive in my list. Baptism services, you can get involved in that and help to organize that. Baby dedications. If you love praying for people, we want to get more prayer counselors that can pray for people going through tough times. And then obviously we run the prayer and intercession on a Sunday morning from Arnu and them. They cover the church. They cover the service in prayer. And then on Mondays, prayer and intercession at our house as well at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. And then we're always looking for new small group leaders. And then I just put in here camp organizers, mana. Somebody asked the other day, are we going to have a mana camp again? And I said, we're going to definitely have a mana camp. I didn't tell him that. I just said, yes, yes, yes. But we're definitely going to have a mana camp. So if you like, I want to do that, you are the man for that. All right. That's what I wanted to say today. Maybe just my picture of the why. I think that is cool. Why do you get out of bed in the morning? That's how I look many times. This morning, I literally didn't look like that, but I have a mirror in our bathroom, and I woke up with the kopi koffie going like this, seeing myself in the mirror in my slaapbroekie and my hairy chest, and I was like, yes, man, I don't know if I got a fright and woke up this morning, but I had one of those, yes, man, I have my coffee, let's do church. That's my why. But I said enough about our why. The next picture is don't wake up like a white man. Wake up like a black woman. That's with joy and excitement. Take on the world. Net a grappie for enige white men offended wil raak. It's a grappie. Okay. And then just to close, this is our why. If you wondered, we do it for the love and relationship, God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By the way, I just want to speak to the worship people that is in charge of the coffee. usually we call up the band. I want to ask you guys to go and start to make the coffee, because that's worship as well. So where's the people that must stand behind the coffee table? The ushers? Julle moet so lank gaan. This is worship. Vang julle wat ek sê? We are in such a habit that we are now going to sing a liedjie. That is worship. No. Nee, ons gaan nie 'n liedjie sing nie. Sit jy net daar. Nee, die mense wil huis toe gaan. We're going to drink coffee. That's our worship today. We're going to mingle with one another. That is our worship today. Okay? Because we do it for love and relationship. God so loved the world. This is my why. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you forgot about the why, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We do it for purpose and meaning. We are created for God's glory. It's a new microphone, die, by the way. Hy werk goed vandag. Ek gaan nie dit alles lees nie, ek sal dit vir julle stuur op die groep. But we do it for purpose and meaning. We do it for eternal rewards. And we do it for kingdom impact. Lastly, we do it for personal growth. So if you don't have a why, there's enough whys. Why we do. The how, we can figure out later. The shortest summary that I have for our how as Christians, to glorify God. That's our how. Let's stand. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that this morning we can once again, Lord, speak about what is dear to you, and that is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to thank you, God, that you have brought us together at this time, at this place, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we know you are going with us into this day and into this week. And God, thank you that as a church, we can prophesy and we can speak life and we can declare, Lord, that you are going before us. Thank you that you are the breath of life. Thank you that you are the fire in our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you have given us the keys of heaven and that we can unlock and close, Father God, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you have told us today to speak in authority. Thank you, Jesus, that you blow, Father God, us as seeds where we should go, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to die to ourselves in this week, Lord. Help us, Father God, Lord, to daily take in the breath, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, God. And God, help us to live lives that is full of abundance, God, that glorifies your name. Help us to walk in the purpose that you have for us. And I pray, God, as we go home, Lord, that you will speak to us, Lord, about our places of service. On our farms, Father God, in our businesses, Lord, Father God, at school, wherever we walk, when we go to the shopping mall, Father God, thank you that you go with us and help us to be sensitive, Lord, to the needs out there and direct our paths, Lord. Lead us to where you want us to serve in this week as well. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for good receptive soil. May you cover the seeds of your word. And Holy Spirit, may you germinate it and let it grow. We cannot do it. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.